Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Heart of Sports with Jason Springer and Jeff Cohen, powered by Elec 825. We are thrilled to join you on WWDB 860 AM, 97.5 HD2, a part of the Beasley Media Group, ready to help you move into the weekend, talking about all the news in the world of sports. Why don't we start with baseball, Jeff? You were there Monday night.
We are particularly thrilled to join you this week because for the first time in 13 years,
it's a long time.
The Phillies are the National League East champions, which is hard to believe considering they've been in the World Series. They've been in the playoffs the last couple of years. It's just hard to believe that they have not been the champs of their own division in their runs to get to the World Series and also the pennant.
I didn't know you were going to the game. So, of course, I'm texting you and blowing up your phone about things that are going on. And then you write back to me with a picture of the National League East champions on the big scoreboard. What was the atmosphere like? Because my text to you was, wow, it looks fun down there. I love October baseball type atmospheres.
So it brought back, it's weird because you don't, because of the last couple years, you're not starving for playoff baseball. You've had it. But before that, there was none for a long time, for almost a decade, right? And so, but there is something about winning the division. And that feeling has been lost for a long time. And there was that feeling in the ballpark from the moment you got there. Now, I didn't have these tickets because I thought they were going to clinch. These just happened to be the tickets that I had. And it
was
nice
just the last one in your series that you got for the
year. Yeah. And so it was nice to wake up in the morning, even though it was a disastrous 4 days watching them screw up games with the Mets, to all of a sudden see that, oh, wait a second, they can clinch a division championship at home. And then you kind of wonder, okay, they've made the playoffs. Are they even going to celebrate this? And you realize, you know what, that you have to celebrate this. This has to be counted as something special. And by the way, they already had a pennant ready.
Like, yeah, the Fanatic was out there.
They're going to hang. The Fanatic ran out, unfurled it, and it was a whole celebration. And it was special to the people that were there. It's obviously special to the city. And I'm just going to, I don't often talk about the guy that I go with. You do. We bring him up a lot. But he said something to me. So my son has been away for 4 years. He's been out west. And we were sitting there, and he said something that has never crossed my mind, and I want your thoughts on it. There is nothing more special in Philadelphia than October when the Phillies are in the playoffs.
I agree.
Including Eagles Super Bowl, including Sixers playoff runs, well, including Stanley Cup runs. Because, well, this
Super
was what
Bowl
was
is like
to me.
One game. So,
exactly.
Like, that's one thing, but the lead up to the Super Bowl isn't, or the lead up in the NFL playoffs isn't like the high intensity energy that comes, in my opinion, in Red October. On the day of the game and the day before of the game, there's mm-hmm. that intensity around the Eagles, and people want to talk it all week, but it's the emotion around the Phillies that's fun. And you asked whether they would party. That's one of the things I love seeing the most this time of year. You see the personalities of the guys. You see them out there with their families, holding their kids on the field, taking pictures. The people that behind-the-scenes support staff for them. And you get to see that come out. Now, some people are like, well, they still had to win games the next day, and they were mailing it in. Look, anytime you put Taiwan Walker on the mound, you're basically mailing it in. So let's just be real about what was going on. They've been mailing in the fifth starter for about a month and a half now, at least 2 months. So let's just be real.
But yeah, but before we get to the actual playoffs that will be coming shortly, let's just go back to what the influence is on the city. And yes, you mentioned the Super Bowl. It's one day. Baseball, this kind of baseball, assuming they can continue to progress, it builds. And so everybody starts wearing red in the city. The Red October thing is awesome. Mm-hmm. The movie was good too, by the way. But Red October, that theme is awesome.
The little pennant flag.
The postseason logo for this year, I forget what it was. I just remember it was so ridiculous. It was like, hey, Phillies, just use Red October. Don't use the We're Red October Ready. I just didn't think, I don't know, there's something about it.
I like
Red
October.
But it will build. And now we know, at least for the next three games, I don't know what the Phillies are going to do, and we could talk about that for a minute.
They're on regular rotation.
No, I know. We'll get there, but we could talk about that. But I'm just telling you, it now built. It now, yes, the next the weekend, not as much fun, but then you get to sit back. You know that Ranger, to the extent he can get healthier, is going to hit healthier. You know Nola and Wheeler are going to get some much needed rest, and I don't think it will make them particularly rusty. The players, the hitters, they need it. Harper needs it. We've talked about it before, and I know Harper says that it's not going to, whatever he has isn't going to get worse, but the rest can't hurt, right? And Bohm certainly needs it. He hasn't been playing the last couple of days. So you need that time, and it all builds to October 5th. It's so we now know.
Awesome.
Do you have tickets? One at home. As a matter of fact, yes.
I knew. So this was your confidence in the team for as much as you feigned concern for the last few months on the radio, as I checked in my...
Well, I didn't feign it, but good.
But you spoke with your dollars and did not buy wild card tickets. You only bought divisional tickets. So you are prepared and will be in stadium. I did not get an invite. Just for our listeners, just letting you know where I stand you in Jeff's world.
I was your backup. I have no problem saying that you are my backup to my wingman.
I understand. Yeah. Look, I'm not trying to nudge Alex out of the seat. I'm just saying.
Oh, yes, you are. But that's okay.
No, I would push him if I wanted it. I wouldn't nudge him.
It would be a full-fledged two-arm shove.
Yes, exactly. I actually think it's really cool that you guys get to share that together, and I've told you that before. So I wouldn't really want to try and come in between that. That doesn't mean I'm not going to try to get in the stadium for something, and if I can bring my kid, cool. But, you know, let's talk about the stadium for a second, because we don't know whether they'll finish in first or second yet. They own the tiebreaker with the Dodgers. We'll see what happens in the weekend series. But they finished this season with a 675 win percentage, 54-26 at home. And so far, the road to at least the NL championship goes through Citizens Bank Park.
Right.
So what's your feel of... So I wanted to kind of talk to you about that in terms of how you would set things up in the postseason roster a little bit.
You literally were asking a question and then just got off your own question.
No, I wanted to ask you the question about setting up the postseason roster for home versus away. Because traditionally it would be Wheeler, Nola, and then figure out Sanchez, Suarez, whether it's three or four. But right. Sanchez has huge home road splits. Sanchez is 7-3 with a 2.21 ERA at home, but he's not as good on the road. So would you start Sanchez 2 and Nola on the road 3, or would you put Sanchez and Suarez as your two starters on the road? That's my first question to you.
I'd go your 1-2 should be your 1-2.
Okay. So you don't worry about that. You'll deal with game 3 when you get to game 3 type thing. Do you think
it's a great statistic. I guess it should make me worry more, but Sanchez, so what is Sanchez's road record?
I have to go back and look it up, but
it's
Thompson,
not horrible.
Thompson
it's just
said,
not as good as home.
Thompson said that Sanchez's home road splits would be a factor, but he said on Wednesday that the opponent will be the bigger determinant. So, right. I mean, he's clearly aware of the home road split, so I figured I'd just kind of ask you about it. Does Taiwan Walker make the roster? And if, like, I don't I will say no. It looks like they're going to go 14 bench players and lineup guys and 12 arms. That's at least what Thompson seems to have indicated. So I don't think Walker makes
so
the 12, roster.
So 12 arms is 4 starters.
Yes.
Ranger, Sanchez, Wheeler, Nola. And you're seeing 8 bullpen guys.
Estevez, Hoffman, right. Strom, Kirkering, Alvarado, Ruiz, Banks. And then probably your choice is Gilbert or Walker. Walker at this point is a gas can pouring it on a fire. I have no idea why they brought him in with the bases loaded the other night.
Here, you know, I read today that they said, get ready. I think it was in the Inquirer. Get ready because Walker's going to make it. And I'll give you a reason other than the legitimate one you just raised, which is his gas can, who's, or as far as I'm concerned, that the spark's already been lit.
Yes.
It's just a question of when they put him in the game, and when they put him in the game, it's just a train wreck. And it's a momentum killer to see him in the dugout or bullpen.
At least the team is more focused when Tyler Gilbert is on the mound.
I'll also give you this. How did Walker react last year?
Complaining about not being on the postseason roster and said he's going to be better.
Lack of professionalism.
Yeah.
And causing a distraction. Is that what you need?
He's the 15th pitcher to give up 23 or more home runs in no more than 90 innings. He's the only Phillies pitcher ever to do that. Like, I get you paid him. You want to get a return on investment.
You're not going to.
And it's not just how he pitches when he's out there. Like I told you, it's how the team plays behind him.
Let me ask you a question. I'm going to ask you a financial question here. Ready for this? If you buy a stock and that stock becomes a penny stock and then the company files for bankruptcy, do you buy more?
No. But okay, they're not buying more. They're just holding.
If they keep him on the roster,
they're holding more. They're holding the loss at this point. They're buying more because
the only impact could be a negative impact.
Well,
if
they put him in the game, they're buying more.
So then why would you have somebody on the roster that you have zero intention in putting in the game and less than 0% confidence in?
I would not.
What's the point?
Now, let me ask you Thompson's confidence in his starters. So the Phillies have the most complete games in baseball this season with 5. We've talked about the number of quality starts that they've had. There are 15 teams that have yet to record 1 complete game. Does Thompson have the patience? Now, separate from whether I'm texting you in the third inning saying get somebody up in the bullpen, does Thompson have the patience, not do the fans have the patience, to let the starters work through it in the playoffs, or does he go to the bullpen quickly?
How quickly?
Well, I don't know. In the past, he's left himself open to question.
You know him well enough to know he will go quickly. He's not going to ride it out, even with the studs that he has as starters. He's got a good enough bullpen, at least top 4. Alvarado, I'm not so sure about, but if you want, you can make him your 5th. But after that, if I see Ruiz in a game, we're losing.
Or we're winning big. Like, I don't want to see them in a tight spot or anything like that. But if you have to conserve arms and you're up big, I'm okay there. But I don't want Walker to be one of those guys.
If the Phillies are winning a game 8-2, I still want to see my good bullpen.
Well, so do I. I mean, it's the playoffs at this point.
Exactly. You just can't afford it. Because what happens is if Ruiz comes in and gives up 3, you're going to have to use that bullpen anyway. And you've just created an additional stress you don't need on the team.
Has Johan Rojas lost his starting position in this lineup with Hayes coming back? Looks like they're going with Hayes, Marsh, and Castellanos in the outfield, with Clemens and Rojas coming off the bench. Stevenson was sent down. He could come back in the NLDS if they make it.
Wait, where did you hear that Rojas was going to lose his starting spot?
I'm just wondering, who do you think they start?
Rojas.
So you?
I mean, I guess it depends on the pitcher.
You think
you're gonna
the
have to see what the matchup is?
You think the outfield is Marsh in general? Is Marsh, Rojas, Castellanos, or is it Hayes?
I think if it's a right-handed starter,
it's Marsh.
I think that it's Marsh, Rojas, Castellanos, and if it's a left-handed starter, it's Hayes, Rojas. But like, what would be the point in putting Marsh in center field against a left-handed?
They've done it.
Pitcher.
They did it with a righty the other night, not a lefty.
If you have a left-handed starter, Marsh can't hit him. It doesn't matter where he's playing in the outfield. He still sucks at bat. And so if he can't hit against a left-handed pitcher, he's not a better defender than Rojas. So there's no upside to putting him in the game.
Do they platoon the infield as well? They've done that a lot with different guys.
Who?
Well,
who's
does he roll out
Stott?
Does he roll out Stott, or does he put Sosa there at different times based on left right matchups like he's done during the season? Does he just park Bohm back?
I don't think he does it in general, but if there's a pitcher that Sosa hits 444 against or something like that, then I would do it. But in general, as rough a season as Stott has had, I would still use him.
Do you feel better given, it's funny, you talk about the Mets weekend and how that did not go well. There's the power outages in the lineup at times. I have bitched to you all season about the number of men left on base. You probably have muted those text messages. What are they, 27th in the league in terms of worst in men left on base?
It is depressing.
It drives me absolutely crazy.
No, your text messages saying it are what's depressing. You literally get me to a point sometime. You get me so depressed about it that there are times that I turn, like on an iPhone, you can track a game if you have the MLB app. Mm-hmm. And so it has a little score up top. The second you send me one of those texts, I don't just get annoyed at your text. I stop tracking the game.
Well, the other night I asked you not to comment on the Brewers-Pirates game because I didn't want you to jinx that one. That's only because you didn't see the text message till today.
No, but I knew not to do it. I mean,
oh,
I
did you? Because it's gone so well earlier in the season. I realize
the powers that I have, and I must use them for good instead of evil.
Have you heard any feedback on our discussion about your mushiness?
Oh, yeah. And I had lots of people knowing that I was at the game on Monday say that don't text me.
I love that that's happened now.
Including you, I believe. So,
by the way, one of the arms that may be eligible is Turnbull. We hadn't discussed
he's
him.
Not,
he was pitching in Triple A. He was throwing. So I don't know, but he will be an eligible arm if they want to have him.
He's an eligible arm. How do you bring in a guy on your roster who's coming back from a pretty serious injury, who's had injuries before, who you risk coming in and throwing one pitch, feeling something, and then you don't have a pitcher?
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, he is a potential another arm. Would you have that?
By the way, he's Taiwan a guy but he's another guy who's been like grousing that he believes that he should be starting. Like,
well, you have to be healthy to start.
When? But he's not starting in these playoffs. Ranger could have half an arm and he's going to pitch ahead of Turnbull.
Before we talk a little bit about who you might want to play and who you wouldn't want to play now that we've broken down the Phillies, can we talk about some of the chaos going on in baseball? You look at the Mets-Braves schedule. Not that I have any sympathy at all for what's going on.
No, I don't understand what is going on, because the Braves, by all reports or most reports, the Braves did not want to move the games to another location.
Yep.
And I understand they're saying this is as a loyalty to their fans, but Major League Baseball does have to do what's in its own best interest. And moving those games out of the eye of the hurricane are in the interests of everyone involved. The fans will get their money back, and those fans should have the first shot at playoff tickets if the Braves then make the playoffs, right? That should be the answer. Finishing a season where the wild card round has to start on Tuesday and saying the Mets and Braves are going to have to play a doubleheader on the day after the season ends on Sunday. They're going to play a doubleheader on Tuesday. And it doesn't just likely affect them. It affects the seeding of the rest of the playoffs. So people are going to have to get from East Coast, West Coast, West Coast, East Coast. Nobody is going to know what they're doing other than the Dodgers and the Phillies that know that they don't have to go anywhere and can just sit back in a couple Barco loungers for a couple weeks.
And Milwaukee knowing that they're the 3 seed and somebody's coming to Milwaukee.
Right.
So they don't have to do anything. Now, this could have been avoided. Both teams had an off day this past Monday.
Right.
They could have moved the series up knowing that a hurricane
was
coming.
Wait, to be fair, I'm no meteorologist, but from all accounts, this hurricane kind of ramped up very quickly.
Ramped up, yes. But they knew that there was going to be weather in the forecast. It wasn't necessarily going to be a hurricane hitting.
Yeah, but
it was going to be tropical storm.
If you couldn't do it Monday, you could have moved it. They could have said, I don't know if the Marlins are home right now, but assuming the Marlins are not home, they could have gone down to Florida, and it's not that far from Atlanta.
So,
and played in a dome.
I'll give you. So the Mets play in Milwaukee on Sunday. They have mm-hmm. to fly to Atlanta on Monday for a doubleheader. Then potentially Tuesday, if they make it, they could have to fly to San Diego or Los Angeles, depending on who the 4 seed is. That would be 4 games in 3 days in three different
San Diego or Arizona.
No, San Diego or LA. Arizona will probably be the fifth seed. And the
You're saying if San Diego somehow wins the division.
Well if either San Diego or Los Angeles is going to win, and the other one is going to be the fourth seed, most likely. So somebody, you know, potentially, depending on whether the Mets or Braves finish in fifth or sixth, they could have to fly across country back again to have be in four games in 3 days in three different time zones. Did you see the Padres triple play, by the way, to clinch their championship?
You mean to clinch their making the playoffs?
They're making the playoffs. I mean,
they have no championship.
They do not have any championships. Okay, that gets to...
I don't think they've ever won a champion.
Whose rotation... No. Whose rotation scares you the most, and who don't you want to play? You got...
I don't want to play the... Are you talking about in the first round or just in the playoffs?
In the playoffs.
I have no fear of any team in the American League. I think the National League is head and shoulders above the American League this year.
Okay.
Even the scary Tigers, which I still have to like shake my head and go, how are the Tigers about to clinch a playoff
spot?
Didn't
they sell their best pitcher midseason?
They sold off like three of their best players at the deadline. And their highest paid player got injured, and then they went like 20-8 after he got injured. So it says a lot about Javi Baez, doesn't it?
Seriously.
But I don't want to play the Dodgers. I just don't. Now, luckily, we don't have to play them in this round. But I think this is the Dodgers' year. I think that what Shohei Ohtani was doing, the pitching has gotten healthy. Mookie Betts has gotten healthy. I don't know how you stop the Dodgers.
I don't want to play the Dodgers, Mets, or Diamondbacks.
You want to play the Padres?
Not particularly, but I think that the Mets are the kind of the spunky, we shouldn't be here team this year that has nothing to lose. The Diamondbacks, to me, have the most, they're the grittiest, most experienced team in this. The Padres have the most firepower, I think, of those four teams. And the Braves are the Braves. But I think if I'm choosing, I would probably rather play the Brewers or Braves or Padres than Diamondbacks, Mets, or Dodgers.
I got to tell you that I'm actually at a point where there's nobody that I would like to play over anybody else in this particular playoff.
No, that's there's no juggernaut.
The National League, there's no juggernaut, but the Dodgers are close to a juggernaut.
Yes.
But the rest of the teams that are in this are real. They're all so evenly matched.
Well, you say that. This is the first time since 2014 that no team will reach 100 wins this season. But all of them are bunched up in that high 80, low 90, you know, of how it is. It's the ultimate in kind of competitive balance right now as they head into the playoffs. It should be some really exciting matchups.
Yeah, it is going to be exciting. It's going to be nerve-wracking, and you are not going to make it through.
Are you going to mute me? Like, have you already come up with a plan?
You are going to have a lot of sleepless nights.
Did you create an SOP for how to ignore me throughout this process? Like,
no,
I'll put my phone down before the game starts.
It's my gut. It's strictly my gut.
Does your family realize, like, when I'm blowing up your phone, how crazy I am? Or, like, they just already know that?
No, everybody already knows.
Anybody who knows that I'm just kind of a lunatic and get nervous. And which, by the way, you've been as nervous about the Phillies all season with me, so don't act like I've been on this crazy train alone. It's not just me.
I have told you I'm nervous, but you actually said I was feigning it, which is not true.
Well, you spoke differently with your emotions than you did with your dollars. You spoke confidently with your dollars and did not get a wild card ticket. So
I gotta tell you, I mean, look, I could sit on the radio and nod and say you're right about that. It was supreme confidence. I'll be honest with you, it wasn't.
You're just too cheap.
It was. Hey, if they're in the wild card round, this is not going to go well.
Can we talk about
that? Just so you know look, I can be honest on the air.
Okay,
and I could have just done the attaboy and taken it from you, which, you know, don't get that many. I should just take it. But in this particular case, I'm letting you know that I said if the end of the season goes so poorly that they're a wild card team, I just didn't see them getting very far, because I think more than any other team in the playoffs, the Phillies pitching staff needs these 5 days off.
I agree with you. Wheeler doesn't normally like extra rest. I'm very happy that they're all getting extra rest for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I did want to ask.
Let's talk about these last three games, because I think it's important. If you were in their shoes, the only thing they have to play for right now is the overall number one seed. Do you have Wheeler, Nola, Ranger pitch those games?
Five innings. I have them go out to stay.
And no matter what's happening, out.
Probably.
Okay.
Probably. I need them healthy for the playoffs. I want home field advantage. I need them healthy for those games. That's my calculation. Whether it's right or wrong, that's how I approach it. How do you feel about that?
I think the pitchers like your idea. Because as you said, Wheeler doesn't want the rest. At least if he gets in and pitches in game conditions, even if it's three or four.
Well, that's the thing. They have like 2 weeks of rest if they don't pitch
right
this week between starts. And that's where you start to have the
Here's sharpness. What I would do. I would not pitch Ranger in any of those games.
I could understand that. Have him just throw a bullpen session or a side day. Mm-hmm. Now, for all my concern, his velocity was back up. He struggled some again the last game, but he was back into the low 90s, like 93 with some pitches. So
that's great. Yeah. I don't need him in game conditions for this one.
No, not.
I'm confident enough in whatever Rangers got left that he's going to give it his all. I'm confident enough in him based on his last few playoff runs to say, he doesn't need these three or four innings.
Well, Thompson will probably roll him out there. Are we agreeing on that? You know Thompson. He's going to roll him out there. He's going to say, Ranger says he feels healthy. I'm going to let him get his work in. Am I wrong?
See, you aggravated me.
Am I wrong, though?
You aggravated me.
I know. Do you know who won't be there in Washington this weekend when they play?
I don't know.
See, did
the
you
Fanatic?
See what they did with CJ Abrams?
Yeah, they cut him.
For staying out all night at a casino in Chicago, returning hours before the game on Friday.
I heard he didn't win either.
No. And John Crux said something on the broadcast the other night, like if staying out till late was a problem, we'd have had nobody ready to play or something like that. There was that happened this week. And then the Pirates cut Rowdy Tellez with four plate appearances shy of a $200,000 bonus. Your thoughts on these personnel moves?
Do they cut him or send him to the minors?
Designate him DFA.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
That's just a cheap move. Come on, man.
It is. I don't understand that at all. And it wasn't like they had to pay him another $5
million. $200,000.
Right, exactly. Come on.
They get more of that in a TV deal. They're suing for NIL rights for more than that.
How hard is it for them to recruit free agents?
I would think it'd be harder after this.
Well, no, but my point is it was hard to begin with, right?
Yeah.
They're not a destination place at this point, right?
No, not particularly.
Okay, so if you know that you're already having these problems, first, other players know Rowdy Tellez. Second of all, agents know. And if you didn't know, you could read the paper or in the internet and sit there and go, oh, this is what they're going to do to me? Why am I going to come there?
I wouldn't want to go there.
Like it's $200,000 saved a bad advertising.
You want to talk anything else about baseball? Next time we will be on the radio next week. We will be well into the wild card round and likely know who's coming to Philadelphia on October 5th. You excited?
We better know by that point, right? It would be nice to know the time.
That would be nice. Yeah. I mean, what do you prefer? Start time. You want the 4 o'clock start?
It's a Saturday game.
So you want like the 4 or 5 o'clock start? Do you want the 7, 8 o'clock start? No, they won't give them the 11 o'clock.
I want 1 o'clock. It was 4 o'clock the earliest they're going?
I don't. You know, that's a good question. Whether they do.
I want the earliest one. I'm one of those guys that wants to get out there and say, I don't want to wait around.
Okay.
Let's go. You know, this isn't during the week where I got to get off of work. This is on a Saturday, and it's like, all right, come on, let's go, boys.
Oh,
go.
So it's all scheduled around your schedule.
Of course it is.
Okay, I'm just checking. Do you...
And I'd like to thank the Phillies for taking me into consideration.
Well, at least you're thanking one team in the city. You're certainly not thanking the Sixers. Can we leave baseball there? Do you want to talk about the Sixers?
Oh, you want to talk about the stadium, don't you? Let's, you know, this could be the week that you really, like, you know, I'm moving, right? Like the last thing I need right now.
You do have a little like stress going on.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on right around now, and you decide. Let's see how many aggravating topics is. So I know you got NIL stuff to bring up.
I do.
You got that. So let's get ahead. Why don't you tell me what the magic plans are that have now been released as to what this deal is going to be? Come on, bring it out.
Well, she did go to the mayor went to a press conference and said this is not in Chinatown. It is adjacent to Chinatown. It doesn't look like the city got any concessions that they didn't have under the Kenny deal. They got the $50 million, that will go to the community money. The team agreed to like a sign provision. The Sixers had a demand that competing facilities clause that would allow them to get taxpayer support if a future arena receives money. They will have a pilot program. And it has a provision that the deal would allow them to receive that proportional benefit. There was also something I sent you about. If the ownership sells, the agreement gets transferred to the new franchise, the future team owner. So like they can't sell and get out of the promises that this ownership group made. So that is in there.
Wait, what let's go through the promises one by one. Go.
Okay. So $50 million in a community fund. That's over 70% of the $50 million will be spent in the first 10 years. $3 million to start a Chinatown business lending. City's looking to raise money on top of that. $1.6 million to businesses disrupted by construction. I mean, I could break it down. There's a lot in there.
Wait. Can we just start with the first one? I'm going to play skeptic here. Ready?
Yes.
Okay. Read that first one again.
$3 million to start a Chinatown small business lending fund with the city looking to raise an
lending
additional
fund. Okay. So for
million.
Those that don't understand it, that aren't laughing as you read it, they're
it with
basically
a face.
Going to loan money at an interest rate, which means they make profit off of it. That is not $50 million given. That is some money loaned with a profit coming back. Okay, let's go. Keep going.
This isn't going to go well. $2 million for neighborhood business owners who participate in a development program at the Community College of Philadelphia. Oh,
which
boy.
Means what? What does that mean?
Jeff, this is going to get to the 40% of people taking public transit. $3 million to incentivize public transit use. Huge spend there.
Wait. What is the incentive? Who are they giving the incentive to? Are they going to give you a discount on your bus fare or your train fare? Like, what exactly is it? This my point is, there's nothing in there that you've read so far that is giving back to the community in such
million.
A way that it's in any way a dent on their wallet.
You cut me off too soon. 4.1 million for new security cameras and lighting around the arena, as well as the creation of a public safety substation for law enforcement.
First of all, I can go get some Ring doorbells and install them for cheaper, but what do they think that if there's additional crime in that area, it's because the arena's there.
Okay. $7 million to support extended year schooling. That's actually like, you know, well,
what does that mean?
They'll have more school for kids.
Who's paying for the teachers?
I have no idea, Jeff. There's $7
million. You do realize that the school district, you know this, the school district doesn't have money to give to the teachers now. They don't have money. They don't have enough buildings for the students that are good buildings. They can't provide school supplies. So extending the school year when you don't have enough buildings, you don't have enough teachers, and you don't have enough supplies. And by the way, do you think the parents are gonna agree to this?
So you're saying the city didn't get a good deal?
I'm waiting for
the
part
best
of the deal that's
ever.
Good for the residents of Philadelphia.
Well, the city said that they're going to come out and support a WNBA team too, because you can only get a WNBA team if you have a building in the middle of the city that takes everything.
That's
out.
Not true.
No, of course it's not true. I'm being a smartass.
Comcast Sportsnet covets a WNBA.
Of course
team.
They do. They want more
they
nights
said
in
it.
The building.
I told you I went to a conference with four of the executives from four teams. And they covet, they want one. Comcast wants a WNBA team. So again, whoop-de-doo if you build another arena, your chances of getting the team getting a team should have been just as good, unless the Sixers are obstructing having a WNBA team until they get what they want.
So what you're telling me is that your opinion from last week has not changed.
Actually, it's worse.
It's worse now that you're seeing details.
And so what is the city of Philadelphia giving to the Sixers for all of this dreck?
A pilot, so they don't have to pay, taxes. They have to pay their amount.
Wait, what's the pilot?
Let's see. Where is
that? Painful, isn't it?
It doesn't say what the specifics are of the
pilot. Of course
pilot.
It doesn't.
Philly Stadium owners don't pay property taxes. Here's what that means for Sixers Arena. Yeah, okay. I mean, they'll pay a certain amount, but they won't pay the full amount. One expert estimated to be $1.6 to $6 million.
Hold on. You got me again. Here we go. Oh, my. My head's going to explode. Did you just say that the residents of Philadelphia won't pay more in property taxes?
No, the teams don't pay the full amount in property taxes. No, somebody's going to have to pay for it. The residents ultimately will pay for it.
Okay. Well,
then I know how this works.
And by the way, if the mayor now comes out next and says, "Oh, property taxes aren't going up, sales taxes are," are the Sixers paying for this themselves?
That's what they say.
Where does it say that in this deal?
Well, the Sixers are paying for the arena. The city isn't paying for the arena. The city gave breaks on other stuff around it, and the Sixers gave concessions to get that deal. But yeah, the Sixers are paying for it. They said that they would.
When does the bond sale?
Well, they have to pass it first, so it has to
So there is a bond sale.
I don't know. I'm not a financial guy.
That was a sarcastic.
Oh.
Question was, when's the bond sale? Something has to give here, and the lack of transparency on where all the money's coming from to go to the Sixers in the arena is what I'm even more skeptical of, the fact that now that the Sixers want to become a community lender.
I don't know whether they're a community lender or they put the money in a fund that the city handles. So I just want to make sure I'm clear.
You don't think that any of the small businesses in that area, if they want to get small business loans, can get them? They can. The Sixers aren't doing anything more than a small lender or a small business lender already does.
It's lipstick on a pig. They wanted the stadium there. The city caved. They're trying to put a positive spin on it. We've all put those positive spins on things before. You've gone and had a flawed client that you say all the good things about and leave out the other things.
Not any of my clients.
No, of course not.
But I
mean, you've heard of them in the industry. All of your clients are amazing.
Exactly. They're not mine.
No, they're not yours.
So what I'm struggling with probably has to do with the Ringling Brothers and Barnum & Bailey Circus announcement by the mayor of the greatest deal in the history of deals.
you don't think the facts back that up so far?
It's a bad deal that for some reason the city wants to give the Sixers. And I guess I have to give the Sixers a smidge of credit, because they totally snowed the mayor.
That's what it seems like, by the way. She's out there as a cheerleader for them for all the stuff that they wanted.
They convinced the mayor that they were going to go to Camden.
Yes.
They weren't going to Camden.
Yes.
There is no way that was going to happen.
My favorite is when New Jersey says, "Oh, the deal's still on the table. It's not finalized in Philadelphia." That's all the leverage that the Sixers needed. They basically played New Jersey against Philadelphia. Philadelphia folded and gave them everything they wanted.
I have such a headache.
So I shouldn't bring up the Giants? No, I'll leave them.
Yeah, no, you should not.
I won't go to them. No. Do you? So here's a question: do you want to talk?
We're gonna get through this show, whether you like it or not. Not talking pro football.
We have to talk some Eagles.
Unless you want to talk about that, Nick Sirianni needs to go now. So you decide whether or not you want to have that conversation or not. But I actually want to have a little conversation about the NIL du jour issue.
Go ahead. You start.
Because I'm frustrated.
Really?
Okay? Because I don't want to attack or in any way besmirch a student athlete
who you're going to should UNLV.
Who should be able to get what they're worth. I don't, this just is not sitting well with me that we've gotten to a point now that a player on a team has decided that he's going to leave his team so that he can have another year of eligibility because he didn't think he got everything he was entitled to.
There's a discrepancy between who agreed to what with him, whether his own people after the good start went back and said he was worth more. But the bottom line is he has decided to redshirt due to a dispute over NIL. I mean, he said, I committed to UNLV based on certain representations.
So here's one thing that there should be a rule on until somebody files a lawsuit and says it's not fair, is once you start the season, you can leave if you want. You don't get another year.
So did you see the other player who left also, but not over NIL there?
No.
Their running back said that he was going to take a red shirt season, but he said that it was to leave due to on-field opportunities, not NIL. But they're a ranked team that started.
On-field opportunities, it makes me more nauseous.
I know.
So that means he's not. Didn't you just say he's their starting running back?
Yes, he is their. They are on field 3-0 at the start of the season, and their starting quarterback and starting running back have left the team.
UNLV, just so we're clear, I know this is not the 1990s basketball team, but UNLV is good enough this season that somebody has to make of the 12 playoff teams, a team that's not in the Power Four actually has to make it to the playoffs. UNLV is one of those teams that has an actual chance to be in the playoffs. And this is what's going on at the school. And I don't know all of the facts. I admit that. But the fact I'm having a hard time with is this is a team sport.
And not anymore.
I'll tell you something else about
it. But it isn't.
If I were advising him, I would be telling him that extra year isn't probably going to buy you the additional money or chance at the NFL. You are on a team that is starting to get recognition, have a profile. You're on the radar. You can continue to succeed at that level and then get drafted. If he thinks, and maybe 2 years from now, you can come back and tell me I'm wrong. If he thinks next year, he's going to go in the portal and he's going to go to a Power Four team and he's going to lead them to greater glory and then it's going to raise his profile. Maybe it will. But I think in these days with the number of scouts that are out there, play out the string at this point.
Isn't there enough exposure just being on the field? I mean, with the TV deals?
Every game is on TV now.
I don't understand it.
If he was playing for 0-3 UNLV, I guess I'd understand a little bit more, although it still doesn't sit well with me. He's playing for a team that's getting pub.
Well, they're also getting pub for saying they would not leave to go to the Pac-12. Lots of conference realignment news because exactly what you want 3 weeks into an awesome college football season is to be talking players leaving for NIL and teams moving conferences. Totally what you want. So
NCAA's fault. This is all the NCAA's fault.
So Utah State has agreed to join the Pac-12. Air Force.
Another school with state at the end.
They should just name themselves the Pac-State because they have Boise State, Colorado State, Fresno State, Oregon State, San Diego State, Utah State, and Washington State now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at the same time, Air Force and UNLV said that they're going to stay with the Mountain West, opting for like $25 to $30 million signing bonuses. The Pac-12 now is suing the Mountain West because they want to get out of a contract they signed last year with poaching penalties that were supposed to prevent them from poaching Oregon State and Washington State, which clearly did not happen. At the same time, more states, Texas State and Sacramento State, along with UTEP, would like to join the Pac-12.
Sacramento State.
Yes, they are apparently getting a lot of money to invest in their program so they can build it up and join the Pac-12.
Super.
Why are we even... I can't. Like, just combine the two conferences. You're splitting your revenue anyway. Make yourself all good. Like, what is this? You're all going to sue each other? And
so just to be clear, you're telling me that they signed an anti-poaching agreement.
And then poached.
And now they want to say, well, since we did poach, now we want to get out of it.
Yeah.
Since we already breached the agreement.
How would you handle that, counselor? How would you deal if somebody came to you and said that?
If a client came into my office and said, hey, I entered into a contract. I want to get out of it. Here's the rub. I already breached it.
Is there a reason?
Of course you want to get out of it.
Is there a reason why they don't just make this a 14-team conference with those seven state teams and then Air Force, Hawaii, Nevada, New Mexico, San Jose State, UNLV, and Wyoming from the Mountain West and just sell themselves as whatever conference they have and take the collective value?
No, because they don't want those. They don't, for the same reason that the Pac-12 didn't want, or the Big Ten and the other Power Four teams didn't want Washington State and Oregon State, is the same reason that Oregon State and Washington State and those schools don't want a school like Hawaii. By the way, as fun as it sounds like to go to Hawaii, nobody wants to spend the money to go to Hawaii
to play a game.
Like
you mean.
I do.
Like, you want to go on vacation.
But if I'm an if I'm an athletic director, I don't want to fly my team to Hawaii. It's a lot of money. And these schools don't have the kind of money that a Michigan has or a Florida has or a Texas has or an Alabama has. They just don't. So at some point, you can't just say, okay, let's all just merge, because there's an economic impact to every dollar now.
I'm going to let you leave the
NIL. Of course, Rutgers is now flying out to Washington and Oregon and stuff like that.
It's a big game Friday night. It's a
huge.
It's a huge game for Rutgers.
It is.
Chance to go.
Are you excited? Are you going?
I'm not going, but I am very excited.
Why are you not going?
Because I'm old with kids.
So?
I'm not going. I'm going to a game later in the season with some friends in November. I forget which game I'm going to, but I'm not going to this game. But I am going up for a game later this season. But look, it's exciting. I mean, they're 3-0 to start the season. They have a chance to really do some things. So, I mean, we'll see what happens with it. We got like less than 10 minutes left. We do have to talk some Eagles. Yes, we can talk Sirianni. Team beat the Saints 15-13. It's basically an Eagles fan's dream.
They looked awesome.
It's an Eagles fan's dream. A thrilling comeback victory with plenty to bitch about. It's the perfect balance of we can tell you all the things that were wrong and the record still went to 2-1. It's just, not often
just so
you see
just it. So people, because they can't see this. I'm going to sit back now and just let you complain for the rest of the show.
Look, I just, there are so many things. I was texting you, not that you care about Saquon's usage, but I know he ended up, Jeff, for all of you, is literally sitting back about 5 feet from the mic with his arms folded behind his head, just kind of turning in his chair, letting me go here. But I do want to talk to you about it. So the Eagles...
I'm collecting my NIL money without doing anything.
The Eagles signed Saquon Barkley, who rushes 17 times for 147 yards. But I was texting you during the game. He didn't have any carries in the first quarter. He had 4 carries leading to halftime. That was without their top wide receiver. And at that point, without 2 linemen, Lane Johnson, who was out with a concussion, and Mekhi Becton, who had left with a finger injury. So I didn't understand that. If you look early at the struggles, they went punt, interception, fumble, turnover on downs, block punt. They had 4 drives that ended in Saints territory at the 34, 15, 43, and 11 that got nothing. So before you talk any of the injuries, you just look at those things at the gameplay, and I don't understand what the hell they were doing on offense for a while.
Yeah.
What did you see there from the Eagles?
I don't know what they were doing on offense. Nick Sirianni is not a good coach.
He doesn't call offense, he said.
He doesn't.
He only overrode the one decision or whatever.
When did he say that?
He said Kellen Moore's offense.
When did he? So he literally said, I'm a little dumbfounded here. I know what you're saying, but he said, I don't handle the offense.
Yes.
Is that leadership to you?
Who's in the running for you?
No. I want an answer to this question. I'm back on the show. I decided that instead of leaning back, now I'm just going to be antagonizing you. Is that leadership?
I think what he was trying to do is say that he's not undermining him. But you're right. I don't.
It's not leadership. Leadership is, look, this is all ultimately on me.
Well, he said that. He always says that. But the questions were about...
But this one's not.
No, the question was specifically because the week before he made a big deal that he overrode Kellen Moore to call a play. This week they asked him about who was calling the plays, and he said Kellen Moore was. That was specifically what it was about. Now, I didn't understand some of the play calling. I also didn't understand some of Jalen Hurts' decision-making. So we can go at Sirianni all day long, but, you know, his
Raise your hand if you had an interception in the end zone.
Look, he has at least one
turnover. Was that this week?
Yeah.
It seems like it's every week.
He has at least, he threw to Devontae. Now there's a question of whether Devontae could have gotten a little better position on that throw, but he's at least one turnover in 18 of his last 22 games. Multiple turnovers in 7 of his last 22. He looked like Carson Wentz out there running, fumbling the ball on that when he got knocked out from behind.
Hey, Daniel Jones doesn't throw that many interceptions.
Yeah, but
when he does, they're pick sixes.
But Daniel Jones still sucks. but in the end,
agreed.
Malik Nabers may end up saving his job there, or Nabers. What's his name? Your wide receiver.
That's it. That's
okay.
It.
I got it right.
Not Jim Nabers. It's not Jim Nabers.
Oh, sorry. What do you call Castellanos? Dan Castellanos. You're going to get on me about names for people.
It's Dan Castellanos.
Nabers may end up being the worst thing that you ever did there because he might save Daniel Jones' job just by catching some terrible passes there.
Malik Nabers is that good that he could save his job. Hopefully, the Giants will realize at some point that, you know what, if Malik Nabers can make Daniel Jones look good, what would he make a really good quarterback look like?
Oh, he would make him look like a superstar. Although
I hope doesn't end up being Shador Sanders.
But in the end, for everything that we complain about, okay, with a minute 57 left, down 5, without 4 starters.
Hurts minute 57 for the Eagles, or that's how much time we have left on the show?
No, for the Eagles. We have a little less than 5 minutes left. minute 57 left, the Eagles are able to, he's able to find Dallas Goedert, and what you think about Jalen Hurts, he read that defense and found what it was and looked for the receiver coming across as the three men ran into each other. So he actually made the right play read there and did the right thing. Goedert had his best game of the season, 11 targets for under 70 yards, ran down there, and they gave it to Saquon to punch it in. So in the end, team pulled it out, right? You feel good about it. And they did it in a way with their defense where they had been a sieve for the first 2 weeks and held New Orleans, which was, I mean, we talked about it the week before, a very potent offense, to a pretty pedestrian day, 89 yards on 29 carries. I mean, Jalen Carter was the game wrecker that you drafted him for.
Right.
Jordan Davis was very good, you know?
But
at some point, Bryce Huff will register. That he's playing.
Are you sure at this point that this just wasn't just a bad signing?
I'm not. I'm really not. He has the same impact as Hassan Reddick so far, only he hasn't lost a couple million dollars.
You love that analogy, don't you?
It drives me crazy. He still hasn't shown up in the stats.
I think you should just go with it. He's had the same impact as we did.
True. Yeah, we haven't had any impact either. Look, the bottom line is if the Eagles...
Well, I do. I can jinx it.
If the Eagles would have lost the game... Sirianni and Hurts would have taken a lot of heat because they won the game. It's looked at differently. There are still major questions about this team. And what do they do this week without likely Devontae, which, by the way, that was a dirty hit. I don't care that it wasn't flagged in the game. He should have been whistled for forward progress, stopped 6 yards before he was pushed backwards. And the helmet hit is exactly what they're trying to get out of the game, where the helmet popped off.
But
and
see, then, that's the one.
And then the player spitting on top of him while he was down on the ground unconscious was also rather classy.
And nothing's been done since.
There was a $4,600 fine for the guy who hit him.
No, the spitting board.
No, I haven't seen anything for that.
Like, I have it on video.
Yeah, I don't understand. And then there was the play with Darius Slay being rode out of bounds into the bench. Like, at least that got a penalty called. But I'm just not sure. I don't know where it goes in terms of how they call things with that. But the Eagles are going to have to find some bodies to put out there against the Bucs. They are a 2.5-point road favorite right now, which kind of surprised me. The Bucs got beat up by the Broncos last week, so they're coming in off of a loss. Whether or not Mayfield can be protected is the question. He's been sacked 12 times in the last 2 weeks. Can the Eagles get pressure on them? And then, you know, Britton Covey's out now. A.J. Brown is out. You're likely to be without Devontae Smith. So what do you do at wide receiver? Do they actually...
Britton Covey's injury is the first one you went to?
No, I'm just saying in terms of wide receiver.
Are you just going alphabetical? Oh, no, you didn't, because Brown comes
A.J. before. Brown would be before that. Glad you know your alphabet. So, I mean, we'll just see what it is.
That'll be my last word, the alphabet.
Oh, thank you. Either way, I mean, Dallas and the Niners lost.
Throwing you off of your aggravation. Aren't
I? Totally. Dallas and the Niners lost, so it worked out okay. You know, the NFC, for teams that are struggling, the Eagles are not in terrible shape right now, right?
The NFC ain't that good. Even the 49ers are not. There's no dominant team in the NFC. There's a decent number of them in the AFC.
You know who looked better than I expected? The Commanders.
Who? The Bills?
Commanders. Daniels looks like a real quarterback.
He does. I mean, look, people will figure him out as the season goes on, and then he'll have to adjust again, and it'll be a long season for a rookie. It always is for a rookie quarterback, but because he can also run, I think that the Commanders actually have a decent chance of winning the division.
That's going to be your final thought for this week. Thanks so much for joining us.
No. Michigan beating USC, my final thought for the week.
Make sure you get that in. Make sure to join us next Friday night to help you start your weekend in style. Have a great one. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Operating engineers are the men and women that move mountains. And the Engineers Labor Employer Cooperative, ELEC, puts them to work. They create opportunities for the men, women, and union signatory contractors of Local 825, repaving our roads, keeping our homes bright and warm, and even building our favorite team stadium. We understand infrastructure. That's why ELEC and Local 825 are ready to get to work.